All right, let me jump into this first dipper. Radical schools. So let me just point out for you. In fact, let me jump to that article first. Let me just go down to my stack. How about this one? Fox News, August of 2022. Christopher Rufo, many of y'all heard his name. Christopher Rufo was making a report that, in his words, radical gender theory had made sudden inroads into America's schools. He says many parents have watched in confusion as their children repeated back slogans like non-binary and pansexual and genderqueer, and they want to know, where did this come from? And right now they're saying, Christopher Rufo's studies indicate that more than 4,000 schools nationwide have some type of, you know, gender theory education or allowances within the school itself. All right, his point here is, who is behind this? And you can almost say who, and you know that in the conceptual sense, it's going to be the activists on the LGBTQ transgender agenda. But who are they? Like, what organization? Are they organized, or is this like a social cultural rise? No, it's an organization. It's called the GSA Network. And he labels it. The GSA Network, once called the Gay Straight Alliance, is now more often known as the, what do they call it now? GSA Network, Gender and Sexuality Alliance. Awesome. Once called the Gay Straight Alliance, the group rebranded itself in 2016 and reflects a new focus on, quote, the limits of a binary gender system, whatever that means. And they operate in elementary, middle, and high schools nationwide. You heard me. Elementary, middle, and high schools. The Gender and Sexuality Alliances. They're a multi-million-dollar organization. They got a professional nonprofit. They got staff. And listen to their ideology. You ready for this? Brace yourselves. See if you can decipher this for me. White European men created an oppressive system based on capitalism, white supremacy, and heteronormativity. That is, the promotion of heterosexuality and the male-female binary and the bourgeois family norms. Anybody, by the way, who says bourgeois deserves to be slapped just right there on the spot. In order to fight back, racial and sexual minorities must unite under the banner of intersexuality and dismantle the interlocking systems of oppression. Oh, God, could they fit more woke in one phrase? And yes, I feel that way about the bourgeois word. I hate that
word.
Even
know what bourgeois means.
I'm glad.
I've never heard of that till just now.
You're in a much better place. Go ahead and look it up. It's B-O-U-R-G-E-O-I-S, bourgeois. And it's going to be something like elitist or you know, upper class, or it's such an overused word in the left. Do you see it? What's it say?
So I think it's the right one. It just says the middle class, typically referring with reference to its perceived materialistic values or conventional attitudes.
Yeah, it's more than that. Bourgeois. Anyway, I hate that word. The specific practices of the GSA Network, says this article, and its affiliates are cult-like in their programming techniques. They have toolkits that instruct children how to do the quote-unquote self-work of analyzing, quote, how their actions or lack of actions or privileges contribute to ongoing marginalizations. Anyway, what I'm saying is that's the largest organization out there that's doing things in schools, creating what I would call radical schools. Now, in Alabama, we've been fighting back on this. In Alabama, we passed what's called the Divisive Concepts Bill last year, I believe. And it's in court. Go figure. But I will say this, like I pulled this from the Tuscaloosa News, Dateline yesterday, that the University of Alabama's attorneys are defending their use of the anti-DEI law against an ACLU-based, NAACP-based attack. What they're basically saying is, we have every right to follow the law, and we're doing the right things. And I'm not talking about they're saying it incorrectly. They're saying it correctly because they're fighting against a group of NAACP officials, groups of professors in the District Court of Northern Alabama, and the attorneys for the school are fighting the issue. So I'm glad. So there is pushback. There are those who are trying to say, that's the law now, praise God, and we're following it. And then there's the left still fighting it. Well, how about this? President Trump weighed in from the national level. And you may recall that in January 29th, when was he sworn in? Was it January 20th? I think it was.
Yep.
So in his first 9 days of office, one of the first things he did was sign an executive order that was designed to de-radicalize schools nationwide. And I've got a copy of the presser released by the White House under his name, January 29th of this year. The title of it is Ending Radical Indoctrination in K-12 Schooling. Can you imagine that we have to do this, though? There was a time when there were, you know, there were sort of some left and right limits. Like, you know, people had a lifestyle. They kept their lifestyle to themselves, leave the kids alone. Kids want to grow into that lifestyle later. That's, you know, that's for later. Not now. All of those borders and mores and left and right limits and parameters, those are gone. They are after your element, they're after your kindergartner. They will do everything they can to put it in front of them. Why do I know that? Because I'm looking at some of the evidence of it. President Trump's executive order clearly says, parents have witnessed schools indoctrinate their children in radical anti-American ideologies while deliberately blocking parental oversight, in which students are forced to accept these ideologies without question or critical examination. This not only erodes critical thinking, said the president, but also sows division, confusion, and distrust, which undermines the very foundations of personal identity and family unity. So what does his executive order do? It restores parental authority, first of all. He flat out says it. It restores parental authority. And then it ends what he calls an indoctrination strategy. He says within 90 days, he is ordering the SecDef, the Secretary of Education, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, in consultation with the Attorney General, to provide an ending indoctrination strategy to the president so that he can have it implemented. That's one. And he goes through all the things, which include some of what I just said a moment ago. Getting rid of all the gender ideology and the transgenderism and the helping your kids transition without mommy and daddy knowing, all of it. Stop it. Get the gay pride flags off your walls. Go back to teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. But he also added this. He's reestablishing what's known as the President's Advisory 1776 Commission to promote patriotic education. It's going to teach the history, the patriotic history of our nation. When I was a kid, you knew that George Washington had crossed the Delaware. When I was a kid, you knew about, you know, the patriots and the founding fathers and what Paul Revere did. You knew these things. And they're not always taught anymore, which is, you knew what the Boston Tea Party was. You knew why it was so important that the Constitution be written the way it was, or why the founding fathers established us as a republic. Not anymore. So President Trump's executive order says, we're going down that road. We are going down that road. We are doing that thing. Now, there are people out there celebrating, y'all. Well, I'm one of them. But I mean like people who have been scarred by this. Got a piece from Fox. 2 days after the president signed his executive order, they interviewed a Christian former teacher. By the way, she had been tenured. She was an otherwise great teacher. But she refused to comply with the district's gender policies and to use the preferred pronouns of children in her class. And she said she wouldn't do it. And she told him she wouldn't do it. And she was fired. And she's ecstatic over the executive order. She also won a $360,000 settlement with her school district. But she said this. She said, the very thing I was fired over, the tide has completely turned. Now it's the teacher who participates in socially transitioning a student that's going to be in trouble, not the other way around like it's been for the last several years. I mean, can you imagine there were students going to school, creating additional identities for themselves? Some are even going into closets and changing their clothes and their hairstyle, and they're putting on, you know, things like chest flatteners and, you know, tuck pants and other things and changing their name. And the teacher would whisper, this is okay. We won't tell your mom and dad because I know they wouldn't like it. So you just do that at school and we've got a safe place for you here. That is absolutely the opposite of what any non-parental individual is supposed to do. That is usurping the authority of the parents and undermining them in the eyes of the child. That's like saying, well, you know, your parents are bad, so we're going to be the good adults in your life and it'll be okay. All right, when I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you, we have a situation right here in Alabama with the Magic City Acceptance Academy. And y'all, the things that have been going on there even lately, unbelievable. And it's got to stop. And I'll tell you more about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going to go back and do a little more on some of the resources I got here. And then coming up top of the hour, don't forget, State Representative Mac Butler from House District 28, who just walked in the studio, by the way, is going to be on the air with us talking about this same stuff. But I mentioned right before I went to the break that when I say all these things about radical schools, about things that are happening in, you know, places out there, and you may think, it's places out there. Not here. Surely not here. I mean, not in North Alabama, Northwest Georgia, Central Alabama, Mississippi, Chattanooga. Not there. Yeah, there. In fact, perhaps one of the only one of its kind in the nation is a charter school we have right here using public funds in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called the Magic City Acceptance Academy. Some of y'all heard me talk about it before, but the Magic City Acceptance Academy may be the only school I know of, ever heard of, that is established on the charter of sexual orientation as much as education. It basically portrays itself as, I mean, let's look at the name, the Magic City Acceptance Academy. It's a friendly educational environment for LGBTQ teenagers. I mean, come on. I don't know how they even got their public charter, but here we are. And they are using public funds because charter schools are public schools, just with a different style charter. But I've got a piece here from 1819 News, Dateline yesterday. And they point out that lawmakers, like my buddy Mac Butler is going to be on in a minute, are beginning to question how the Magic City Acceptance Academy keeps doing the things it's doing, knowing full well we passed the Divisive Concepts Law. How are they able to keep things posted on their website, some of which they've begun taking down, but only after they were pressed to do it? How are they continuing to provide some of the content they are, knowing full well that the state law should otherwise prohibit it? Well, let me tell you some of the things that have been happening over there here just in recently. How about Flapjack the Drag Queen that was there recently? Flapjack the Drag Queen doing a school fashion club at the Magic City Acceptance Academy about his journey with drag fashion. By the way, I'm reading you quotes from what these individuals put on their own social media. So Flapjack the Drag Queen was so excited to have been there wearing the famous box gown that, you know, is a successful statement piece and talking fashion with the kids. Right. How about Robert Garofalo, a pediatrician who started one of the nation's first gender clinics back in 2013? He treats patients as early as 4 years old at his gender clinic. And he was recently there for a story time, and that's awesome. Garofalo has had patients as young as 15 have double mastectomies and has used medications to sterilize children and transition them. How about the Intrafaith Alliance of Central Alabama? That can't be bad, right? Intrafaith Alliance. Well, it gets a little sketchy when you begin to realize some of the participants in the Intrafaith Alliance don't seem to have the whole, I don't know, Christian ideology kind of down, right? You know what I'm saying? It's more like what they want it to be and pretend that it's church. Especially when they show up with books and they bring books like, you know, Sex, that's one of them. It's a graphic novel. Genderqueer, Homosexuality in Islam, Rise Up, How You Can Join the Fight Against White Supremacy, Gender Identity Workbooks for Teenagers, Becoming Eve, Holy Troublemakers and Unconventional Saints, and Beyond the Gender Binary. Those are actual books that were given to the school by members of the Intrafaith Alliance. How about the Birmingham AIDS Outreach? Well, that shouldn't be bad, should it? Well, it depends. You know, you want to make sure kids understand some things, but then some things you look at and go, that was not necessary. Like when the presenter showed up wearing a T-shirt saying trans rights are human rights. And it's really the Birmingham AIDS Outreach, and they present a sexually transmitted safe sex course to teenagers at the Magic City Acceptance Academy. All that's happening right now, and it's really kind of nauseating when you think about it. These are schools where, and I love the quote from my buddy Mac, who's going to be on the air with us in a minute. He said, classrooms have always been devoted to what has traditionally been called the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, but there's some educators that want to add a fourth R, and that's radicalism. So we're going to talk to him about a bill he's got coming up here in a few minutes that is designed to coincide with President Trump's executive order. Because remember, an executive order is not it has the force of law until that executive order is rescinded by a next executive order. But when states are putting things in place under state law, we have an opportunity, at the very least, to protect the least among us with laws in our own state, and we should. Coming back in a minute with State Representative Mac Butler, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. Because it's always about food. Taco Tuesday. But yeah, we're going to go right now to, I've got somebody here in studio with me. You got the camera right? Good to go? We got a guest right here in studio with us, representing House District 28 in the Alabama State House. And oh, by the way, a successful businessman and a longtime friend of mine, State Representative Mac Butler. How you doing?
Great. Great to be with you again, Brother Phil.
It's good to have you, man. Thanks for making it happen in person. Yes, we appreciate sir. That. Hey, I've been talking the last little while, you caught the last few minutes of it, about what I call radical schools. It's a crying shame that schools and libraries have become central figures in wokeness and in radicalizing children and in trying to invade the province of the parents' authority. But they have, and not always, because, I mean, I've got educators in my family. There is a whole slew, the vast majority, I'd say, of the rank and file in the education arena are not at all that.
Right.
But the bad apples in there are making things worse.
One positive that happened from COVID, if there was a positive, one positive was that it exposed a lot of this.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, mom looking over the shoulder of some assignments exposed a lot that we were unaware of.
And suddenly, you're going, wait a minute, your teacher said what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that hanging on the wall behind the teacher? Right. Why is that rainbow flag hanging there? Yep. You've got a bill, brother. I think it's House Bill 244?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about it.
All right. We're going to take pre-K to 12 and basically ban gender identity, sexual orientation, pronouns, and as you say, like pride flags that I had no clue till people across the state started sending me pictures from the children's classrooms.
In Alabama.
And even here in Etowah County recently, I had a student telling me about her teacher could not deal with the curriculum for promoting all things transgender. Of course, I did talk to the superintendent about it, but it's a real, these are adults that are making conscious decisions to sexualize children and not in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You're talking about a doctor cutting off body parts of children. We know their brain's not developed to really 27 years of age.
Yeah.
Medical majority in Alabama, as you know, is 14.
Which is crazy.
And we're working on that. Representative Susan DeBose is bringing a bill, which she is incredible, bringing a bill to hopefully move that up to maybe 18. It's far too young for these children to be making these lifelong decisions. But it's just that adults that are making decisions to sexualize our children. And we have got to stand up. Thankfully now, there's been a change with Trump at the federal level that we're literally now just matching his executive order. But we've been at war with the federal governments for so long. That's why you and I both have been big 10th Amendment rights folks.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost as if we've been given, I said it earlier in my monologue, we've been given the freedom to breathe a little bit and to sort of go through a reset. And I love what Trump said in his, his acceptance speech. He's bringing back the era of common sense.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is, really. At the same time, it's also more than common sense. It's just right. We have laws that, like, for instance, statutory rape. It's called statutory rape because by statute, by law, kids are not old enough to give consent to have sexual relations. Yeah. You can't get a driver's license till a certain age. You can't join the military till a certain. You can't drink till a certain age.
That's right. Can't go to R-rated movie.
You can't get a Costco card.
That's right.
And all we're doing now with your bill is really just looking to set things right and saying, oh, by the way, all that talk about sexual identity is out of schools.
Let's keep that separate. We're not doing that great academically. Let's focus on the academics, the three R's.
All right. And not the fourth R being radical.
That's right.
which is a great quote from you, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Where's the bill right now? I know
it's pending action in committee. And the chairman told me we would address it.
Is that Terry Collins?
Yes.
That's House Education Policy, correct?
Right. Yeah, it should pass. We passed it last year, a little different version of it, and it didn't make it in the Senate. It was supposed to make, but the Senate had a meltdown there at the end. But we do believe we'll make it this time. Moms for Liberty is pushing hard. We got great Emily Jones, which is a rock
star.
Yeah.
She's one of our podcasters here.
Okay. Yeah, she's fantastic. She's championing in this issue. And she has exposed so much, sent me so much documentation that, you know, we weren't aware that some of this was happening even here in our county. I called the superintendent to ask him about some of the apps, and they weren't aware that it was happening. But as soon as I contacted him about it, they shut it down. And then some of these things, they're not accessible after 3 o'clock. So that mom and dad couldn't see it. I mean, these people that are making this agenda item, this decision to sexualize children, are, I mean, they're smart. And we've got to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a lamb. And when time comes, we've got to become lethal.
Absolutely.
And fight these issues.
I think it was Emily Jones who told me that she discovered on her, I think I'm correct in saying this, she discovered her son's Chromebook from school, which was school supplied, that the only way you could see some of what was on it was to log in to the Wi-Fi at the school itself. It had to recognize that URL for you to be able to open certain things.
They are clever.
And so she actually went and sat in the parking lot and opened it at the school.
She's more clever. much more.
Well, that's why she's her podcast is called The Controversial Mom, because she's not afraid to get busy. Well, I mean, it's a crying shame that we've got stuff like this, but that is one of the things we have to deal with is sometimes the schools know it. Sometimes it's the activist groups that are supplying it, and it looks like, you know, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing,
right.
and they get it in the front door. But I think one of the greater points is President Trump and your legislation here gives authority back to the parents to say stop that.
Absolutely.
At the same time, you still have to be vigilant.
Right.
I mean, you've raised your kids.
And part of our role as men is to be a protector and a provider, and that's what I see this is literally. Let them be little. Let them be children. Protect their innocence as long as we can. The world is coming after them so quick, and now every child just about has that computer in their hand, their cell phone.
Yeah.
That is not wholesome on most days.
No, it's not. In fact, let me ask you this. Aren't y'all looking at a legislation right now that the governor wants that would ban phones in schools?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And as a former school board member for 10 years,
yeah,
I advocated for this. And as a school board member, because, you know, the kids every day needed to call their mom for all their extracurricular activities, what they were doing, and it was handy. But the students caused so many problems. It would literally shut down the schools. And to be honest, when I was on the school board, it wasn't cheating. It was naked pictures.
Yeah.
That somebody would take a picture, send it to the boyfriend, and 5 minutes later they break up and they transmit it to the entire school. And thankfully, our DA in Etowah County at the time was an adult and didn't prosecute these children for, you know, because basically possession of child pornography or distribution of child pornography. And they were just children, but they're so disruptive to the educational process. So I like Lee Holsey's bringing the legislation, which she's another fantastic representative from Shelby County. But, you know, they still would have their phone. It has to be put away in their locker, in their purse, somewhere, you know, that not accessible, because it does. We all experience it that our phone is a constant. We're wanting to reach for it.
Yeah.
And I'm learning now the longer we could prolong that from children, the better off they are.
Absolutely.
The mental anguish, just the anxiety they're getting from social media and the pressure of it. So, you know, thinking back, we wish we would have delayed a lot of these things with the phones, but absolutely, school is not the place. And in other countries, they have cell phone jammers where in a school or a movie theater that you have no signal, it won't work. Those are illegal here. But, you know, in a case of an emergency, they would be able to access it. But it does not need to be right there readily accessible. I know some teachers we have here in Etowah County, when you walk in the room, you place your phone on the chalkboard up there. So it's away from you, not calling to you.
Well, let me ask you, go back to your bill a minute.
Okay.
You said that it's going to come out of committee hopefully very soon, this month.
This month.
And then we've got y'all are in session. If you went the full amount of time, because you can, you know, once you pass the budget, you can leave anytime after that.
Right.
But when would you expect it to go to the House floor, hopefully, like soon thereafter, I hope.
I do think that the speaker has been real supportive of this legislation.
Okay. So leadership is saying yes.
Yes, he was appalled to it last time when he saw what was actually happening with, you know, that some of these assignments are plain pornographic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some of this stuff is for elementary school kindergartners. And
makes no sense.
Yes, none whatsoever. We just think it doesn't have a place. You know, you and I survived 12 years of school without it.
Yeah.
And this transgender.
Amazing. Without phones, too, yes. Apparently.
But this transgender movement changed in about 2012. You know, in the DSM, it was a mental disorder. And then during the Obama administration, they changed it to gender dysphoria. It's still a mental disorder, and it's more compassionate to be honest and truthful with children. You're doing irreparable harm to little ones when you start cutting off body parts and giving them pain. I mean, very powerful drugs.
I've said before that there is no other psychological disorder that I can think of where the healing is allegedly that we have to join them in the disorder.
That's right.
I mean, if it was bipolar, if it was schizophrenia, if it was depression, if it was anxiety, we would try to help them to get out of it and even encourage them to get out of it. And the affirmation would be why they're better off not in it.
Great
and
point.
But in gender dysphoria, the left says we have to join them in it in order to heal them. Let me ask you this. Have you got on your bill, House Bill 244, is there a Senate companion bill? Is there a Senate sponsor yet? Do you know how that's going to work?
Yes. Senator Keith Kelly told me he would carry it up.
Outstanding. Keith Kelly's a great guy.
He is. Love Keith.
Well, listen, I am hopeful this bill is going to you know, make headway and do what it's supposed to do. And there's several things like this. And it's amazing that we have to keep playing because we passed the Divisive Concepts Bill already.
Right.
And we've got Trump's executive order. And yet I would say, I would bet, and you can back me up on this if you want to, but I would bet that 60% of everything we pass every year is a tweak to what's been done in the past because we have to keep staying current and we have to bring it up to certain standards or catch up with the loopholes or whatever else. Your bill is doing exactly that, filling a gap that shouldn't have to be there, but it still is.
Yeah, a few years ago, it was not necessary, but today it is. And you mentioned the Magic City Acceptance Academy.
Yeah.
We as a legislature are going to have to exercise our authority is with the power of the purse.
Absolutely.
Because nothing else is getting their attention, but I guarantee we impact dollars and cents, we will get their attention.
Yeah, you can't keep having some of the things they've had showing up at school for presentations and it's okay.
Blatant.
It's they're right not even in trying to face. Pretend.
Yes, just in your face. And so I think it's coming to a head, and hopefully this time we're going to take care of it.
Well, Matt Butler, you've been a warrior for conservative causes for a while. Thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And we'll keep track of this one and keep us posted. Just text me if things move, all right?
I'll do it. Thank you so much for having me.
That's State Representative Matt Butler from House District 28, right here in the Northeast Alabama area. He lives down the road from me in Rainbow City. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.